Welcome back to Clarity Quote to Cash podcast, where we discuss the latest trends and the best practices with leading industry experts. I'm Sergey Ermakov, your host today, and my guest for today's episode is Ankit Sharma, Director, Industry Advisory for Quote to Cash Solutions in SAP. And Ankit is engaged in building industry strategies, leading strategic programs, and managing portfolio solutions for SAP. So everything that we like in our guests. So Ankit, I will let you introduce yourself.
Oh, thank you, Sergey, and thanks for having me here. So just a bit more about my background. So currently, as you said, I'm part of the industries organization at SAP, and I'm specifically focused on industrial manufacturing. One of the things that I do in my role is also lead this Everything as a Service program. You know, there's this huge flux of companies that are moving towards service-based business models. So that has been my focus for a long time now. But before that, I was also a solution advisor for companies across industries. So I would give them advice on how they could leverage the data to unlock value in their business. So that's a bit about me. I've been with SAP for almost about 10 years now.
Okay, great. Great. So we are going to discuss the very interesting topic today. So we're talking about everything as a service, also known as XaaS, which is like a relatively new business model, but it has like gained a lot of traction over the past years. And we see like a lot of changes coming, especially the changes in the way how companies operate and how they implement the XaaS strategy and how they monetize the subscriptions as the products. So let's start with the discussing what is the current state of the XaaS, where we are from the industry perspective. And I think that the best way to do it is really to focus maybe on a couple industries. I think that discrete manufacturing and high-tech industries would be like the best, like just to understand how they're doing this and what challenges they face. And I think that overall for everything as a service is just exciting times, because like most of the discrete manufacturing companies started like kind of, you know, looking at the new business model, because it helps them to get competitive advantage. And I think that one of the benefits that XaaS model bring to the customers in this space is basically shift from the product-centric approach to more customer-centric approach. So how do you see this transitioning within the manufacturing space happening? So what is your view on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So look, Sergey, I mean, if we look at the current state of manufacturing and globally, right, there's a lot of macroeconomic headwinds right now. So there's labor shortage, there's inflation across materials, across logistics, and then there is intense competition, you know, that goes without saying. And if you look at, you know, this, all of these factors are really, really pushing pressure, or putting pressure on our industrial manufacturing customers to think about new sources of revenue, right? And one of the obvious answers that I'm observing and witnessing is companies are exploring the service-based models as an approach to really seal or unlock new sources of revenue. And, you know, if you just look around, like, for instance, some of the big companies like Caterpillar, Johnson Controls, they have set very aggressive targets for themselves to around service revenues. For instance, Caterpillar wants to be a $28 billion service revenue giant by 2026. And, you know, they just published their reports for 2022, and they're already at $22 billion. So it just shows that, you know, service is an important area that a lot of companies are focusing on. And I think it's a trend that is going to remain for a long time for the foreseeable future. Now, there is obviously a reason why companies want to do that, as I explained, revenues, but there's also this entire idea that margins are also very high in a service-based business. And you can talk about Apple, a high-tech company. It boasts about two times the margin compared to the product, two times the margin in service business compared to the product business. You talk about Vestas, which is an industrial manufacturing giant, a turbine manufacturer. I think in your area also. It boasts for about 4x the margin in service business compared to product business. So what I'm saying is that there is clearly a business benefit for industrial manufacturing companies to look at service-based business models. But, you know, all of these nice things also have concerns, right? How these companies are able to think about what is the right servitization mix, what is the right service-based business model, you know, what should be the offering, what should be the price point. And that's where these companies are kind of taking a step back and thinking about what would be the right servitization mix. So what I'm observing that many companies, they are looking at either selling consumables, right? Mm-hmm. Providing simple support services, repair services. And then there are companies that are moving slightly more aggressive and they're offering a product as a service. Not just product as a service, basically rentals also. And then slowly there's this transition towards a stage where companies are offering everything as a service, which is to say that instead of selling products upfront on a one-time basis, they are now combining everything together like services, support, software, putting them into a nice bundle and then offering them on a subscription basis, right? So this is sort of a transition that I'm observing in the industry. And we can obviously discuss some of the concerns and challenges that go along with it. But if there is any other question that you would like to explore, I would be happy to answer.
Sure. So I think that like what the other trend that we see that there are many customers who started thinking about that and they understand really the implications that the subscription model brings, they start like with a very kind of the narrow services portfolio. And sometimes it is like one of the examples would be, I think that the digital services, right? So, and because like here you, you start with something that never existed before. So this is a new service for you that you are just starting implement with just from day one using the subscription business model. And you get a better understanding on how this subscription model would work, how it actually behaves from the, what would be the right pricing to put on the service, what would be the value to the customer. And then they learn how to start selling these subscriptions. And then they could like clearly see how this transition would happen. Like if they want to achieve really this everything as a service, XaaS approach. So, yeah. Do you see, because like I see a lot of this in different customers we work with, do you see these trends also like from the discrete manufacturing industry perspective?
Yeah. I mean, It's actually very hard for companies to straight away transition to selling everything as a service on a subscription basis, right? And you're absolutely right that there's this, you know, small baby steps approach that the customers are taking. I think even before we get into the discussion around digital services, what companies are doing and they must do is make their assets and the equipment that they sell smarter, mm-hmm. right? So the entire idea of a digital service is that, you know, you have these assets that are out there in a customer's premises, and they should be able to relay back information and data, right? And once you analyze all of this data, you are able to come up with certain value-added insights for your customers, which you can start selling as subscriptions, right? And that's the entire lure around how can we move into a digital services offering by unlocking data that we are capturing from our assets and then offering them on a subscription basis. And I think this is probably the first step that every manufacturer should take, right? But obviously, as we understand the market, there are certain advanced companies that are already at the very end of the entire path that I described. But I think there's this momentum that is building with the advent of digital twins and having smarter products that capturing digital data streams and offering them as a service is probably the right way to go forward, right? And as you said, it's probably an easier approach. It's where you start testing even the right subscription mix. So when I was explaining earlier that there has to be a servitization mix understanding, what I meant was that there is a product offering, which as we are discussing, could be an asset with the digital services on top. Now, what should be the price for it, right? And this is something that when it comes to the realm of digital services, you are thinking more in terms of software. You know, you are thinking more in terms of data and the value-added insights. And there is a lesser chance for anything going wrong in that sense. You know, when you are, let's say, when you are in a product business, you are providing products to your end customers, and the products are hardware devices. They could go wrong. You know, they could be configured in some other way that the customer ordered. There could be damages along the way. They may not function according to, you know, how you plan them to function. So a lot of things can go wrong. But when it comes to digital services, you're essentially in the soft space, software space. And it's slightly less risky in terms of the customer experience going wrong when it comes to those offerings. So I think it's absolutely the right starting point for any company to move to subscription models. And we are observing it. You talk about high-tech industries. They're obviously at the forefront of offering digital services. But industrial manufacturing companies, they're offering remote diagnostics, remote monitoring, right? Even, mm-hmm. Whatever alerts that they get from remote monitoring, they're offering it for a field service technician to go and repair in case something cannot be done remotely. So there are examples, and there is a path forward which companies are adopting.
Yes, I think it's a very important part, because like what you are getting from the making your product smart is you are getting this data on how customers are using the product. And then you are able to build kind of, you know, first of all, consumption pattern that is basically giving you a lot of an insights of, on how the product is used and what the value customer is getting from the product. That's one thing. And another thing, you get a lot of additional information that you could monetize. And for example, in my recent experience, we had like several use cases with the companies who started like gathering the data. And then they understood that this data is valuable for their customers in order to basically get additional value from the product that they sell. And they packed it in a way that they provide these services based like which is actually the data analytics that lead to additional value that customer is getting. And I think that this is like the extremely important part, because like once you get it, you could also understand how you could create the different ways of pricing your product. Like for example, consumption-based pricing. You are monitoring usage, and based on that, you could start developing and thinking and applying the different types of the pricing to your product.
Yeah, and I think just one more point on what you're saying around digital services, something that a lot of manufacturers should always think about that. See, when you sell an equipment, and suppose you have been selling that for years, for decades, you probably, as a manufacturer, have mastered the craft. You are adding a lot of value to your customers. Now, obviously, a lot of companies are starting to see commoditization of their products, unless you are manufacturing some really sophisticated high-end equipment. So that's why, as we understood, they are exploring these digital services as an additional revenue stream. But what happens now is there are companies around you that are developing digital services agnostic of any hardware, right? So they could be your competitor developing a digital service to work better than probably what your digital service offering is, right? So there's a lot of competition on that side as well. And therefore, it's a constant game of innovating, moving forward, you know, always providing value. But you know, there is a lot of competition on the digital services side as well, which we cannot ignore.
Yes, and I think that we basically coming like naturally to the next thing in our discussion, what's the opportunity, right? And like this exactly what I think that forms this opportunity is like building the long-term relationship with the customer and then monetizing this relationship. Because like if the company manufacturer is becoming like deeper, kind of, you know, embedded into the customer process, because like what we see is this is happening gradually. Like first you start monetizing your servitization, right? So different services that you could start selling on subscription basis. Maybe you are selling them already on subscription basis. Mm-hmm. The next stage is the smart products and this consumption and understanding of the customer usage. And then you could start bundling all that in one single product. And this product could mm-hmm. be sold completely, including all the services on the subscription basis. And that is what mm-hmm. basically called SaaS, right? And equipment as a service, basically. And what, from your perspective, like, is the we understand that it is beneficial. We see the margins higher and everything. But what do you see as the challenges, the risk for the companies moving in that direction?
Yeah, I mean, some of it we already touched upon, and I think we as a company, I'm from SAP, you probably are aware that we also have embarked on the strategy of becoming a cloud company. We sell products on the on-prem upfront basis as well still today, but we are largely moving towards a business model where we are selling software as a service, you know, on a subscription basis. And when you do a transition like that, it obviously has to be done gradually, because if you do it in one go, first of all, you don't even know what works, what does not work, right? We have explained while there is this layer of higher margins, recurring revenue that would come in when you move to such a business model. But at the same time, when you start putting this into operations, you will see an initial hit on your margins. Your margins will go down, right? But you have to stay strong. You have to stick with it. The reason margins go down is that you are transitioning from selling products upfront, right? So you don't get paid upfront. You don't recognize revenue upfront. You have to wait for it. You have to wait while you're delivering the performance obligations that you have around, you know, the contracts that you have, the new contracts that you are signing with your customers. And therefore, there's not just on the financial statements that, you know, there is a big shift, but also in the culture of a company, right? I personally have been working with companies for almost 4 or 5 years now on this topic itself, who are thinking about transitioning to this new business model. And sometimes I'm so surprised that, hey, we have been discussing this for 2 years, 3 years. What's the bottleneck? Why are we not able to move forward? And actually, it boils down a lot to also the resources that the company mm-hmm. has had for almost about decades. The processes that have been put into places, which were, you know, suited to the earlier business model. And even the commercial formula, the profit formula, how do you make money? What should be the pricing, right? So resources, profit, processes, profit formula, all of these kind of put an inertia against change. And it's extremely important for CXOs in a company to really be behind this, really be pushing forward that we have to go forward with this business model. We have to make certain hard choices and changes and train our workforce, things like those. So I think these are some of the challenges that companies are grappling with. But I also want to point to one of the surveys that we did about last year. And we interviewed about 100 industrial manufacturing and software business and technology leaders, just to ask them the question that, what are your biggest concerns and challenges around launching everything as a service models? And guess what? I think some of the results were fairly obvious and intuitive, but there were results that really surprised me. Not that I was not expecting it, but the number was startling. So for instance, we asked them the question, what are the challenges that prevent you from scaling these business models? So the number one challenge was that about 40% plus industrial manufacturers said that they are not able to scale these business models beyond the pilots that they are doing. So you know, they are stuck at pilots, 4 or 5 customers, not going beyond that. Right. And this is even more skewed when it comes to industrial manufacturing compared to high tech providers, because high tech providers have kind of understood how software as a service really works. Right. But industrial manufacturing customers are facing a huge problem. They are not able to scale these offerings beyond the pilots. And of course, the other challenge was, what is the right profitability? How do we get the right profitability? What should be the right mix that gives us the right profitability, the right revenue growth, the right subscriber growth. I just want to point out, just today while commuting to office, there's this Wall Street Journal article on Netflix. So Netflix is thinking about cutting this subscription fees, which is different from what it was planning to do earlier, you know, right? Raising the subscription fees. Why is it doing it? Because even a company like Netflix is still struggling with understanding that what should be the right price point for their subscription offering that helps them on two levers. Number one, the revenue growth, at the same time, subscriber growth, right? They're still grappling. And their worries are becoming even more nuanced because there's so much competition around, right? A lot of streamers, which are doing exactly the same thing, trying to enter the same markets. It's not very different from what our industrial manufacturing or discrete manufacturing customers are facing currently in their business, right? So these are the challenges. In fact, I just remember one more anecdote while working with this food and beverage equipment manufacturer. And I was sitting with the head of the services at that time of that company. And he was explaining it to me that if we have to offer a paper outcome kind of a model, we have to arrive at a price for delivering that outcome. Typical way of arriving at that price is your cost plus a certain markup, right? A plus B plus C plus a markup. Now, there is no science behind identifying what that markup should be. You can't keep it too high that it becomes, you know, not affordable for your customers, but you also can't keep it too low because your margins are impacted. So, Sergey, you and I have also discussed that in the past. How do we arrive at that right pricing, right? And exactly. That becomes even more challenging for our companies. But yeah, it's a journey that we have to help them and we have to take with them. But yeah, these are some other concerns.
I think that like it all ends up at the top of the pyramid. It all ends up as basically providing your product as, you know, the cost item on the for the customer. And I think that when we get the better understanding of the customers, their requirements, the value that they're looking to get, I think that this would help companies to start setting like pricing. But I think there is a long way basically to getting there and to getting this understanding. I think it is one of the big things. And if tomorrow someone would come up with an idea on how to kind of, you know, project the pricing for subscription products when moving from the one-time sale, I think that it is just a very good thing to have on the market.
I agree 100%.
Might be we're seeing a lot of AI coming in, so maybe we will end up with a solution that would be able to project this. But I agree, this is a big challenge, and we hear this from each and every customer we work with.
Yeah, and AI can definitely help, but I think you're as much familiar with the current mess of siloed systems that we have, you know, that our customers run, that bringing all of that data together, I think should be the first step. And then, you know, leveraging AI models to come up with pricing, I think that would be a proper framework or let's say a path towards really automating this through an AI. But you know, that there's definitely an eye that we are keeping on such developments.
Okay, so, but from your perspective, what would be the recommendation to the companies that are planning to move into the SaaS direction? Maybe just based on the good examples that you have seen, like across the many customers you work with, you could just provide some kind of the must-have list that companies should think of.
Yeah. So I think the first thing that companies should do is really set a strategy for developing digitally smart products, because then they would be able to transmit data, which could be used for, you know, offering digital services and whatnot. Secondly, I think when companies think about servitization mix, they should think about offerings that would give them a continuous engagement with their customers. So just to give an example, if you're thinking about providing consumables as a service, right, this is still a discrete event. A consumable will become, you know, available, or let's say you will provide a consumable like a spare part every month or every quarter or every year. I think you need to move beyond these discrete nature of as a service offerings, you should be thinking about a continuous engagement that could be on the data monitoring and the remote diagnostics things that we spoke about. The third most important factor is, as we think about everything as a service, what we are trying to essentially do is really provide an efficient service, an effective service to our customers so that they leverage or they get the outcomes that they are expecting out of us. Now, when you are optimizing around service efficiency, what you really need to put into place is an effective partner strategy, supplier strategy, right? What I'm essentially trying to say is there are companies that are offering everything as a service where they deliver outcomes with the help of hundreds of suppliers, hundreds of service providers, right? I think what is extremely important in those cases is to be able to have one single view of the assets towards which they are optimizing and everybody in the ecosystem. So I think it's extremely important for companies to really think about what kind of business networks they are able to establish, what kind of stronger alliances they are able to establish to be able to deliver the outcomes that they are promising. And lastly, but I think it's not the the only point that is remaining, but I think this is extremely important, is most of the manufacturers are now facing these ESG regulations, sustainability regulations. Right? It becomes extremely important for them now to be able to track and trace any carbon that is, you know, getting across the value chain, what is the carbon footprint, et cetera. And not just that, a lot of other factors around sustainability. I believe that servitization and everything as a service strategy could really help them navigate the sustainability maze much better. Why? You could already imagine when you are in the business of selling outcomes using the same set of assets and the services, you would obviously optimize around extending the life of the assets that are there, right? You would want your assets to be able to work not just 10 years, but 20 years. So lesser carbon footprint because you are extending the life of the equipment. But not just that, when you think about a service-oriented, when you have a service-oriented mindset and a business model, the assets that you build and design, you would have unsustainable features like reduced energy usage, reduced carbon usage. You will design products that are good for remanufacturing. So imagine a contract terminates after 15 years with our customers. You would want to get your assets back. And you get those assets back, you remanufacture them, and you again put it out for some other customer operation. So I think all of these factors should be taken into account when you are developing a good servitization or everything as a service strategy.
Yes, I agree with you. Extremely good points. And my recommendation on top of yours would be start small. And evolve your business with a better understanding of what the process looks like, and run pilots and do the rollouts. That's what we see, and it basically helps a lot to get this better understanding on the process. Okay, so yeah, thank you very much, Ankit, for your insights today. So I think that everybody will find this extremely insightful and useful for all the considerations that you have. And it's obvious. I mean, SaaS model is becoming important, and businesses should think about how they operate and how they interact with the customers and how they get better understanding and better view on how the customers are using their products. So thank you, Ankit, for joining us and sharing experience. So it was really great to have you on the show. And thank you all for listening. And we'll look forward to bring you more exciting topics around XaaS and overall call to cash. And if you have feedback, suggestions for future episodes, please feel free to reach out to us. Happy to hear your feedback. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Sergey. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.